It's not quite 9/11, not quite Archibald Cox, but the Senate heads into the second week since the firing of FBI Director James Comey, still in a tizzy. Will it hold up the confirmations of other nominees? And what about any other business? For a look ahead, we turn to David Hawkins, senior editor of Roll Call. And David, I guess if Hillary Clinton had done this, had she been elected president, it would have been over in hours, because everyone, I think, expected that to happen. So how long is this going to go on, do you think, for the Senate?
Well, you can never be sure whether the Democrats will change strategy or whether their seemingly unified front will last. But as the week began, it sure did seem as though Senator Chuck Schumer had his Democratic colleagues all lined up to do whatever they could to slow walk regular business, and especially the confirmation of a new FBI director, whoever he or she may be, and we think we're going to know the name by the end of the week, to slow walk that until the appointment of some sort of independent prosecutor. It's a little bit complicated. There are some Democrats who don't think that Mr. Rosenstein should be essentially authorized to appoint anybody, that he's now poisoned himself by his participation in that. There are others who think that would be a fine solution to name somebody at the Justice Department in more or less independent of day-to-day oversight from General Sessions and Mr. Rosenstein. There are others who think that it should be an independent group altogether. But in either case, what the Democrats want is some new independent voice investigating the ties between Russia and the Trump campaign and ties to Russians meddling in the election before they move on an FBI director. They can't really stop him, as many listeners know. Harry Reid a few years ago took away the ability to filibuster all nominees except Supreme Court justices. Now we know Supreme Court justices have been added. But they can make life miserable for the Republicans. They can slow it down. They can walk out of hearings and markups. And they seem inclined to want to do that.
Because we've heard about alleged Russian interference now for months, but there's been no facts that came out about what it is they think the nature of the interference was, except for the email situation that was taken from the Democrats. But nobody's proven the Russians did that either. So I guess the rhetorical question is, what is it they want the prosecutor to prosecute?
Well, I think what they want the prosecutor to get to the bottom of, ultimately, is whether there is any evidence, any credible evidence, of a link between the Trump associates or the Trump campaign and this effort by Moscow to shape the outcome of the election. I think the effort by Moscow to shape the outcome of the election and to tilt it in Trump's favor, that's sort of beyond dispute. There was plenty of evidence that came out last fall about that. What they're now investigating is suggestions, and there's no evidence has come to light so far that there was a connection between the Trump campaign and the Russians. I mean, the only evidence, if you think of it as such, is the president's own declaration, so far wholly unsubstantiated, that as part of this investigation, President Obama had the Trump Tower phones tapped last fall.
Right. So there's plenty to speculate on politically. But in terms of other legislation, confirmation of other candidates that have been nominated, and there's been quite a slew of them recently, including a lot of judges, how long can this slow walking really go in a practical sense?
Well, it can go for a while. The Senate, even though ultimately it no longer takes 60 votes to get these confirmations done in the Senate, the Democrats, they have the power to delay hearings. They have the power to delay committee votes. They have the power to insist, it's an obscure one, but to insist that no committee meet more than 2 hours after the Senate goes into session in the morning. So in other words, if the Senate begins meeting at 10 in the morning, theoretically, all the committees are supposed to stop working by noon and turn their attention to what's going on the Senate floor. It is a rarely used rule. It is waived almost all the time. But when the minority is mad, they invoke what they call the two-hour rule, and it just, it brings the Senate business more or less to a halt.
Because we are getting closer to the date when the Trump administration, we presume, will release its detailed budget proposal for 2018.
That is supposed to be any day now. I've kind of lost track, but it is supposed to be round about the middle of May, and there are Appropriations Committee hearings that need to happen. There are, there are a dozen or 13 different subcommittees with different pieces of the federal budget to look at. they take that work seriously. This is sort of their only ability every year to see how programs are running. It's their best ability every year, their most routine ability. So yes, they want to get that stuff done. As we've discussed before, in the fullness of time, we're moving towards another sort of, I guess, using the phrase fiscal cliff is dangerous, but yeah, there's sort of a potential for another fiscal cliff this fall when the debt ceiling really is reached at about the same time fiscal 17 gives way to fiscal 18. So, and at the moment, there's no glimmer of a solution at hand for the president to get the big strokes of the budget that he wants through Congress, because Republicans think that the president's cuts in domestic spending even are too deep.
We're speaking with David Hawking, senior editor of Roll Call. And another matter that affects at least one section of the federal bureaucracy that the Senate had an unusual vote on was the repealing an Interior Department rule on methane for oil and gas leases on public land. Some Republicans broke ranks there. What are we seeing ahead on the regulatory regime that was pretty much a legacy of the Obama administration that the Trump administration promised to undo? Doesn't seem like it's all that sure a bet now.
So what we're talking about here is the use by the Republican Congress and the president of a pretty obscure law enacted way back in the Contract with America called the Congressional Review Act that allows Congress to undo or reverse or repeal regulations promulgated in the final months of an administration. Congress has already undone, I think it's 13 of them, but the 14th ran aground last week when John McCain and a couple of other senators voted with the Democrats against this repeal. Now Senator McCain has signaled over the weekend that he is open to sort of revisiting this. It gets complicated because what this Congressional Review Act says is if Congress repeals a regulation, then the administration is forever prohibited from sort of trying to do a do-over that is substantially the same as the regulation that got repealed. McCain says that would have gone too far in the case of this methane rule, so he wants to work with the regulators to find some sort of middle ground that he could support. So I think that one is not a dead letter quite yet.
In other words, he wants to give the department the discretion to rewrite the rule in a way that I guess maybe he would approve of.
He would like to make sure that the department has some power to write this rule. He says some regulation is necessary. The one that Congress is on the cusp of repealing was too far, but he thinks that there should be some leeway for the regulators to take another shot at this.
But in the absence of a vote on the motion to end that rule, then there's nothing that obligates the Interior Department to go forward with a new rule unless it feels like it.
That is exactly right. So this is And time is, I think, of the essence. I'm not exactly sure that I think the clock on these Congressional Review Act actions is expiring. I think it's 90 days. It's been a while since I thought about that level of detail. But it's 90 days, 120 days. It's a certain number of days that Congress can act after which their ability to use this special process goes away.
So it's almost like a senatorial version of the pocket veto.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it, Tom. It's exactly right.
David Hawkings is senior editor of Roll Call. I guess maybe when are you going to write a book about the Senate? Because maybe it's already been done, but this stuff is just endlessly fascinating, isn't it?
The Senate is a fascinating place, and you're right. I should write a book because it's a very different place than it was 30 years ago when I first was fascinated by it.
All right. We'll find more information and a link to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.